We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Better Living, a show about people and organizations that make an impact around Dallas-Fort Worth. I'm your host, Chris Arnold of 105.3 The Fan. And our first guest this morning is the Executive Director of Urban Specialists, Mr. Anton Lucky. How you doing, Anton?
Man, how you doing, Chris?
I am doing outstanding. Happy Martin Luther King holiday weekend.
Man, same to you, man. It's 54 years today since Dr. King left us, right?
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. Yeah. I was actually in Memphis when he was assassinated, and I can't tell you how impactful it was for me as a small child. I will also say it was very ironic that one of the last events that I was at, you guys had a what would you describe that event that occurred south of Lamar at Gillies? Because I'm bringing this up because you guys had with you the hearse that Dr. Martin Luther King's body and coffin rode in when he passed away in Atlanta.
Right. Man, it was coming on the hill of the 50th anniversary. And so Bishop Omar, the late great Bishop Omar, who espoused on those principles of nonviolence, who were influenced by Dr. King, started this Heal America tour with the purpose of bringing people together who have differences to say, how do we work together? How do we continue with the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King that's needed so now in this culture, in this polarizing narrative? So we, what you witnessed was us bringing people together to say, how do we move forward, man? And that was a electrifying moment.
It really was, and that was the I was trying to name the event. It was the Heal America Tour. It was the stop in Dallas, and Bishop Omar was absolutely exceptional. You had all kinds of special guests there, including Deion Sanders, Mark Cuban. You had a police officer from Los Angeles who was doing so much stuff for social justice. You also had you had a couple of people on video. One of them was a CNN correspondent.
Van Jones,
who Elon Musk just awarded $100 million to help help with incarcerated individuals and righting wrongs.
Yes. Man. And Van Jones has been an integral part of what we do here at Urban Specialists, and specifically with our Heal America tour, because, again, that was something that was birthed by the late, great Bishop Omar, who transitioned last year in March. And so the whole spirit of that is bringing people together, regardless of race, regardless of nationality, political party, saying, first, let's look at each other as human beings who are worthy of each other's love and et cetera. And how do we find things that we have in common that we can push forward on? And so that was in the spirit of that. And I thank you for having me on this show. I forgot to say this, you know, on the heel of Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday, because I believe he left us a legacy of fighting for the least of the. And what I do and what the Urban Specialists do is the continuation of that legacy, man.
Yes. In fact, what the Urban Specialists are all about, you guys like to transform urban culture. You work to change the cultural environment of communities in order to stop senseless violence and help individuals reach their fullest potential. I love that philosophy, and I also like the fact that you say we can disrupt toxic trends. In other words, you're trying to transform life experiences into healthy alternatives to disrupt the, I mean, it's all about changing things in the culture, right?
Right. It's about redemption and transformation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things that we believe is that redemption and transformation first is possible, and then we believe also that everybody, no matter who you are or whatever your past is, you are deserving of redemption and transformation. You shouldn't be condemned. The author Bryan Stevenson said like this, that most of us are better than the worst mistake we've made. And I like to say that's kind of like the caveat of what we do and what we believe. You know, we believe that there is hope, you know, in our communities.
Mm-hmm.
There are hope in individuals. And so how do we bring that hope out? How do we take individuals who don't see the same, who don't see, and how do we bring them together?
Right.
And say, how do we, yes.
I like the way you put that, because people were raised in different environments. And if you don't
right.
understand each other, how can you communicate? And I like the fact that you guys are trying to reach over and bring people together. And I also like the fact that everybody in your organization is inspired. What did Bishop Omar say? Only inspired people can inspire people.
Inspire people, yes. And we live that every day, trying to inspire our communities, man. Doing just a bunch of stuff, man, to bring that about, especially here in Dallas, man. We love Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas natives, grew up in Dallas. And so we always about how can we make Dallas better. And making Dallas better starts with us looking at the less fortunate, looking at those communities that's under-resourced, underserved.
Mm-hmm.
How do we bring in resources? And how do we incorporate those individuals in those communities in the healing and restoration of those communities? And so that's the kind of philosophy that we have. And that's the work that we do, man. And we have a lot of support from those that's on the ground. We thank you, Chris, because you always, you know, highlighting us, man.
Sure.
And you are a staple in this community. You're a legend in this community. So just to have the relationship with you is big for us, man.
I was very impressed with you guys from the get-go. In fact, with the late, great pastor, Bishop Omar, he was an outstanding man. And again, you mentioned he transitioned. He passed away back in March, almost a year ago. But you guys have carried on. Can you talk about how the organization itself, Urban Specialists, has
yes.
been moving forward, even in other words, to carry his legacy?
Yes, man. First of all, Chris, thank you for asking that question. Bishop was everything to me. I mean, he was the first person who believed in me, who taught me that redemption and transformation is possible. Someone that I was fortunate enough to ride shotgun with for 20 years, 21
mm-hmm.
years, where we talked every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen the work that he'd done and the people that he impacted. And he imparted into me certain principles that I use right today. When he passed, of course, you know, it was a tremendous, tremendous loss for us. But his mission, his legacy, I said to myself that I'd never let die. And so since he's passed, I have become the president of the organization and did some regrouping around the principles and the lessons that he left. And so the organization has thus expanded. And just here recently, we just named an entrepreneurship initiative after Bishop Omar. It's called the Bishop Omar School of Entrepreneurship, where we're going to take those individuals in those communities and teach them entrepreneurship and then connect them to the resource. So we believe if we want to break the back of poverty, we have to teach people to bring out that business idea, because we know once they bring that business idea to fruition, they're going to hire within proximity, meaning they're going to hire family members or somebody in the community. And that then helps the ecosystem of the community. So we got the Bishop Omar School of Entrepreneurship. Our
nice.
First cohort is in March that's happening. We got the Heal America Tour that's in partnership with Stand Together, which is another amazing organization that's funding these kind of initiatives across the country. How do we remove barriers to people at the bottom? So we got that going. And then we have our OGU. I told you about that last time, which is, we are looking for guys and girls and communities who have this knack, this cadence for helping communities, and we training them. And not just training them, we providing them with tools and connecting them to other change makers across the country who are doing the same work. So we got a lot of stuff that's happening this year. And then not to mention, I can't get off without mentioning this. You know I just wrote a book.
Oh, no, I didn't. Tell me about this book.
Yes, I wrote a book. It's a memoir of my life, from where I came from, and my relationship with Bishop Omar and the work that we've done. I gave this a step-by-step account of everything that happened up until this point. And it's called A Redemptive Path Forward. It's on Amazon. It's set to be released in May. That's the 25th year that I was sentenced. So I'm releasing it in May. It's going to be released nationally. But it is a, man, it is an electrifying, impactful book. Everybody, I wrote it so that anybody who picked up that book, they're going to find something in there for them. But it's the blueprint of everything that we do. Again, it's called A Redemptive Path Forward. It's coming out in May. Go to Amazon, pre-order right now. If you got somebody locked up, you got somebody that's trying to understand, go order that book, Chris. This is a dope book.
I cannot wait to read it. We're talking with the president of Urban Specialist, Mr. Anton Lucky, and you're talking about your book because people who may not know, you were incarcerated. You were going down the wrong path. In fact, you and I have been knowing each other for a few years now, and I want you to share the story again about how you were involved in gangs and whatnot, and then you were able to get out of that life because, like I said, people recognized how smart you were, how talented you were. It was just going in the wrong direction.
Yes, Chris, I was born in one of these under-resourced communities that I talk about in my book. I was a straight-A student, talented and gifted student. I loved bringing good grades home to my grandmother, getting those praises. But my neighborhood, the neighborhood I grew up in, it was a different situation. The name of the game was Survivor. So, you know, it's all about Survivor. So my knack and my drive for education took a backseat to this idea of violence that was in my neighborhood. And so I yielded to that and end up starting a gang here in Dallas, one of the first blood gangs here in Dallas. And that led me to standing in front of a judge. I was standing in front of a judge expecting to go home, and that judge said some words to me that I'll never forget. He said, "You're a minister of society, you deserve prison." And Chris, I remember standing there having a conversation in my head saying, "Judge, but you don't understand, I come from South Dallas, you know, East Dallas, they you know, it's, you got to be tough, but that's not really who I am. I'm a really good kid, et cetera, et cetera." And as I was having that conversation in my head, it never came out of my mouth. But when I was led back to that cell, my introspection of my life began there. I started tracking my life and saying, how did I go from an A honor roll student to being sentenced as a menace to society in prison? And so in prison, fortunate for me, I met a mentor who began to teach me and mentor me. And I started reading everything under the sun in prison. And before long, I was teaching in prison. I was one of the most sought-out mentors in prison. I began to work with the Aryan Nation. I began to work with Bloods and the Crips and bringing these guys together around being responsible and being accountable. And so when I was released from prison, I met Bishop Omar in my neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And once we met, we did the first gang peace treaty in Dallas, and we went around the city of Dallas working inside of schools, juvenile apartments. See, anybody that can hear that we have to be accountable for ourselves, that we have to take back our communities, that we can't blame other people for our mistakes, that we have to accept it, move forward, and create change. And so that's what I've been doing for the last 21 years. And I was fortunate enough to meet some amazing people along the way, to go from being a gang member to the White House, guest of Speaker Paul Ryan, working with Charles Koch and the billionaire Charles Koch and their nonprofits to break the back of poverty, to working with Deion Sanders, which is my brother, in Jackson, Mississippi, coaching right now. Shout out to him. To just doing some. Even today, I'm working with Chief Eddie Garcia, Chief of Police. Now, Chris, you got to understand, I spent my teenage years running from police, and I had some very adverse relationships with police. Now I train police. And not only I train police, I'm working with Chief Eddie Garcia here in Dallas. He's an amazing, different type of chief. Believe that. We are going into the prisons together this year to say to inmates coming out that's coming back to Dallas, we got resources for you. Please don't come out here and commit crimes. Let us give you these resources. So it's a lot of stuff like that that just happening that my life is just so amazing right now. And I will say this, my team, the urban specialists, I have one of the best teams ever. You know, most of them met Bishop Omar. Bishop Omar cultivated this team. And so this team is a big part of why I'm able to do a lot of the things that I do. So I just want to share that with you, man.
Oh, yeah. And it's all in the book. Again, the book comes out in May. You can find it on Amazon. We're going to talk again after the book comes out. I promise you, we got to get you back on the show because you've been doing so many wonderful things. And that's one of the things about this show, Better Living. It's about people and organizations that make an impact around Dallas-Fort Worth. And the urban specialists are doing that not only in Dallas-Fort Worth, you're doing it nationally. But I like the fact that your whole game plan is to have different groups of people communicate. And therefore, those who are disadvantaged or in lesser income situations, they know they have the opportunity and they are straying away from toxic lifestyles and trying to do things that are on a more positive tip. I like the fact that you guys are about training, recruiting, empowering people and organizations. Can you get into that just a little bit? How you do this?
Our method of intervention is we find those individuals, man, who are definitely geared toward or have the desire to implement impact change. Bishop Omar used to say, if we can find a person and change their character, then their characteristics have a market advantage. So we look for people who have this certain knack about change, and then we bring them into a cohort of other change makers. You know, we may have a cohort with judges, lawyers, prosecutors, police officers, original gangsters, OGs, all in one cohort. And we saying, how can we work together? How can we make some stuff happen? How can we break the back of poverty in our communities? How can we heal our communities? How can we challenge these false narratives in our heads that say either the community is bad or either policing is bad? How do we challenge that? How do we bring these individuals? People have to talk. When people talk, you've shed a lot of the misperceptions that you have. And so we have a express talent in doing that, finding people, bringing them together, and then catalyzing them out to work together to show up in communities. The relationship with Chief Garcia and going into prison is a result of that. You know, so that's what we're about. We're about challenging these toxic elements of our society that keeps us separated. There's some bad snakes and there's some good snakes. We got to understand that. There's some bad black people and there's some bad white people. But there's some good white people and there's some good black people. And we just got to connect. It's not a monolithic idea. It's not, hey, this officer did this, so that means the whole force is bad. Or this community member did this, that means everybody in the neighborhood is bad. We got to challenge that. And we can challenge that. And when we challenge that, better communities, better relationships, better narratives evolve.
I love it. I love it. Again, that's why I'm gladly having you on the show, gladly do things with your organization from time to time. I like the fact that you guys look to invade urban culture with intrusive activities that provide alternative life experiences. You're instituting healthy values, attitudes, beliefs, and ideas. And in turn, the destructive behavior also changes. Can you give some examples of, you know, what you have done over the years? You guys have been around for 23 years. We're talking about the urban specialist, and over 23 years now. And I know for a fact, because it made headlines. At one point in time, I can't remember what year it was, but y'all were actually providing not just food, but checks for families who were doing the right thing.
Oh, yeah, man. When the pandemic hit, Chris, and I don't know if you know, I think you do, but when the pandemic hit, before the government gave out those
stimulus checks.
Our organization gave, right here in Dallas, silently, we gave $500,000 to families in the form of $500 stipend that they didn't have to pay back. They didn't have to qualify for it. We just said, how can we help? And urban specialists, in partnership with Family Initiative, Stand Together, we gave away $500,000, $500,000 to these families in Dallas. And that's just one of the many instances where we've worked in a community. We do work in communities and we try to help. We just try to do it silently, man. We believe in helping people, man. That's our modus operandi. How do we help people? How do we bring great partnerships together? How do we connect north and south? When we go in other cities, we connect people who live in the same city but never ever talk.
Wow.
And the magic that happens when we go into these cities, because every city has a north and it has a south. It has the rich and it has the poor.
Mm-hmm.
It has people who are trying to make a difference and people who are making a difference. And our job, you know, is to bring these people together to say, let's show up. Let's create some magic. And we may not agree on everything, and that's not even a requirement. The requirement is that we believe in people. How do we bring people together? How do we go against this toxic, polarizing narrative that's in our culture, that's tearing our country apart? You know, we have one of the best democracies in the world. We have one of the best constitutions in the world. We just have to continue to fight to make people live up to it. It's one of the best in the world. I love being an American. I love that. I love this country. And our work reflects that love and our ability to try to push forward those ideas and those principles that this country was built on.
Which is why in 2017, Urban Specialists received an International Humanitarian Award, because you guys reach across and try to bring people together and let them know that there's some commonality there. And if we work together, we can lift each other up. I love it. Can we talk about the Solutions Conference you guys have had and from time to time, what y'all do trying to put different people together to instill trust?
Oh, yeah, man. I'm going to tell you something. At our last deal, you just mentioned, we had Ryan Tillman, who is a police officer.
Yeah, from
in
L.A.
California.
Mm-hmm.
We had Leon Ford, who is a Hill ambassador for Hill America. He was a young brother who was shot mistakenly 5 times and paralyzed by a police officer.
That's right.
Who are now working together. We had the wives of the officer who was murdered in Baton Rouge with the family and wife of Alton Sterling on stage together, working together. We have numerous examples of the work and what happens when you bring this kind of idea together.
Can I put in one more? Because you mentioned Tillman, the L.A. police officer. Tillman actually wound up meeting with Dak Prescott and had lunch with him and was able to do some projects with him.
Yes, man. I love Tillman. That is my brother. He is a great brother. He is really going around his country, man, educating us, brother Leon Ford. And then also, man, this Christmas, and I got to say this, in my book, I talk about this new term. You heard it here first. This is the first interview that I've done that I've mentioned this. But mark my word, this is going to become the thing. I have a term in my book that I'm coining called redemptive activism.
Okay.
Let me say that again. Redemptive activism, right? That's a term that I think is definitely needed, and I'll just give you a quick definition. Redemptive activism believes that a person, place, or thing is not confined or defined solely by any action of the past tense, and is granted the inalienable right or opportunity to amend, modify, or adjust. I'm going to be introducing that concept because I think in our today's society, we need this kind of discourse
mm-hmm.
to happen so that it's not sides yelling at each other, but it's beginning with the love for all people. It's saying that we can challenge these unjust systems, because we do have those, by employing the principles of love, justice, courage, and redemption. So you're the first person that I'm talking to about that term, redemptive activism. But just keep that in your head. When we come back later, we're going to talk more about that. Redemptive activism, that's what's needed in our culture.
That is fantastic. We're talking with Antoine Lucky. He is the president of Urban Specialists. There's another thing. You mentioned that phrase right there. You guys had a phrase. I believe the bishop created the phrase, and you guys backed it up. Vision regeneration. Can you explain that for those who don't know what that term means? Because I think it's special.
Yeah, that is, and also it was the name of the first organization that Bishop Omar started, but it was talking about that the vision for our communities has to be regenerated to where young people have a pathway
mm-hmm.
to do something better. That our vision for our communities has to be regenerated in a way that young people have a path forward, and that, you know, we can see a different and a more healthy society and community for ourselves if we understand the regeneration of a vision, of our vision of ourselves. Because this used to talk about all the time that most black men are marginalized. You know, one in three are in prison, parole, or probation. And so it's this marketing campaign of black men being a threat. And so Bishop always wanted to change that. He always wanted to change that perspective of black men.
Mm-hmm.
But it begins with black men understanding their value to themselves, to them families, their communities first. Because he believed when you understand the value of who you are, then you can make better decisions, et cetera, et cetera. And so Vision Regeneration was the first iteration of what we were doing when we went into communities here in Dallas.
And you guys did even more than just go into communities. You also went into schools. I think over
18
DISD schools with youth violence prevention and game intervention.
Man, shout out to Principal Robert Ward, James Madison High School. He gave us our first shot. That guy is a hero. He was the first person that gave us a shot at going into schools,
mm-hmm.
taking our guys in to be mentors, to mediate conflict, and to be the bearers of truth, et cetera, et cetera. Dr. Robert Ward gave us that shot. And when he gave us that shot, a lot of the violence that was happening in school decreased significantly.
And you know what else you guys do? It's more than just, you know, gang intervention. It's more than, I mean, you guys have been doing so many different things, but I got to throw in this part as well, because you do, like you said, feet on the ground kind of things with young kids and stuff. The grass, trees, and shrubs thing that you do, where you renovate houses and make the communities look nice, let alone, you know, talking to people and get their spirits right. But you physically make the community look great.
Man, that's Chris. I'm amazed at how much information that you
I'm proud of y'all, and I'm impressed with what you do over all these years, seriously. And that's why I want you guys to be able to have this platform, because a lot of people don't know the great work that you're doing.
Right. And for me, just hearing you say Vision Regeneration, man, that just makes me smile, because, you know, we've done a lot of work here in Dallas and that didn't get the shine of the light of day because we weren't doing it for that.
Sure.
And I done forgot. And just to hear you say Vision Regeneration or grass, trees, and shrubs,
mm-hmm.
and all of the stuff that we've done inside communities, man, that's you. Hey, man, you just made my day. Just know that. You made my day by saying that. And I feel, wow.
Well, it is worthwhile. And again, you guys continue to amaze because you're doing things all over the nation. What's in store 2022 for Urban Specialists? You mentioned a little bit at the top of the show, but could you go over that a little bit more here, what you guys got coming up?
2022, right? My vision for Urban Specialists is we want to be in 50 cities across this country.
Mm-hmm.
We want to create this new idea of bringing individuals together in cities across the country, working together, being a network for each other, talking to each other, people who normally wouldn't talk. We want them talking and working with each other and showing up in communities. I want Urban Specialists. This is what I'm charging my team. I want us to be the Susan Coleman of bringing people together.
Ah, Susan B. Coleman.
I want to be that. That's big.
Yep, the Susan B. Coleman. Everybody knows about breast cancer awareness.
Yes.
Yes. I love what you're saying, because it can happen.
Yes, I want us to be that in terms of restoring communities, ending violence that's in our communities. I want to end violence in communities. I want us to stop killing each other. I want these mothers to stop prematurely bearing their kids. I want kids to be able to not be like me, yield to the neighborhood influence, but to really say, I want to go to college, or I want to go do this. I want that to be the present option for kids. And Urban Specialists is barking down that path, because I remember me as a kid, Chris. I remember me. I was mm-hmm. a talented, gifted student. And my neighborhood said I had to be violent. I had to be a gang member. And I yielded to that. Just think about how many kids out there now who are smart, gifted kids that have something to offer the world, but they making choices because their neighborhood is violent, or this idea of violence that's gripping them. I want to change that, man. And that's what Urban Specialists is going to do. And we're going to do that by finding individuals around this country who believe in that and bringing them together and say, let's show up. Let's show up in communities. I want to take the Heal America tour that Bishop Omar started and take it in every city. Well, we connect in cities. Well, we start talking to each other again as opposed to hollering at each other. I want to kill this culture of polarization that makes whites and blacks look at each other with contempt versus love. I want to kill that, man. And our organization is revamping to do just that.
And it's very possible. You mentioned the Susan B. Komen Foundation. It was started here in Dallas, and now that is a global movement. It's a global phenomenon with the breast cancer awareness. And, again, I can see what you're doing because it's such a worthy cause. Again, if you wanted to, if anyone wanted to get in touch with Urban Specialists, need some help, want to volunteer, want to partner, where could they go? The website?
Yeah, I want them to go. They can go to the website, and that's urbanspecialists.org. They can go on all social media platforms and look at The Urban Specialist on all social media platforms. Send us a message. Call us. We're looking for help. We're looking for funds to continue doing the missions that we do, et cetera, et cetera. They want to find me, go on Anton Speaks on all social media platforms. And let's just connect, man. I love Dallas. I love this city. I appreciate you, Chris, for having me on this show, man. You is a legend in this city. You mean so much to this city, man. Your advocacy and stuff that you do, you know, it's big. And so I follow you. I listen to you on the radio, man. I appreciate your heart. You know, I gotta say that to you. I mean, I know you giving me the platform, man, but I'm letting you know, man, that you're a gem in this. You are a conduit, you know, for doing good work. You are a legend, man, and I want you to know that. I want you to know that from me, that I appreciate you, brother, for everything that you do, man.
I appreciate you, too.
You are an inspiration.
You know I am there for you if you need it. And, again, we will have you on the show again because I love the work that you guys are doing. And you know I'm there for you. Just let me know.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. That's Anton Lucky. He is the president of the Urban Specialists.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Joining us now is the president of the Dallas Black Chamber of Commerce, Mr. Harrison Blair. How you doing, Harrison?
Hey, Chris, I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on the show today.
Well, we got to have you on the show because this is Martin Luther King Jr. holiday weekend. And, of course, the celebration of his birthday is tomorrow. But I always reflect to you and your family because your late great grandfather, the former Negro Leaguer himself, the legendary Bill Blair, started the Martin Luther King Jr. parade celebrations here in Dallas. In fact, I think I've been in, not just watched, I think I've been in over 25 of them over the years since 1980, man.
Oh, wow. And Chris, I can tell you, I've been honored to be a part of his legacy in that way. You know, it was always considered by my dad and my grandfather a day on and not a day off. And I think because of his history here in this city and just understanding how civil rights took place in Dallas, he wanted to do something to honor Dr. King. So in 1986, they structured the very first MLK parade here. Mm-hmm. I think it had two guys, a truck, and him with a bullhorn. It's grown quite a bit since then.
It really has. And in fact, this is what's so amazing about the parade. Actually, there was three. There was one in Fort Worth, and there were two in Dallas. I think the city of Dallas had one. And the travel route, and I've been in all of those parades, the travel route always goes down Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, and it stops and pauses for a little bit in front of the Martin Luther King Jr. Center. And then it wraps up at Fair Park. Can you talk about the parade route and how so many fans over the years would be standing along the sides and then the marching bands? Can you give, in fact, reflect on some of your memories of those Martin Luther King Jr. parades?
Oh, Chris, and let me say this is special.
Because you got to organize it, too. You were part of the family that was organizing.
Oh, yeah. And I don't oftentimes get to remember all of what my family's done in that, you know, particular process of, you know, do so publicly. So I'm gracious for that opportunity. But I would say, you know, for us, it was mostly engaged with community members. It didn't cost a lot for a community member to be engaged. And my dad and my grandfather understood that if they included the community, then people would come to see their families. So it really evolved into a large operation because everybody was here to see someone that they knew participating in this parade, whether it was one of the high school bands or whether it was a church that was participating or even other communities who would come and be a part of MLK Day. So naturally, that also attracted a lot of corporate partners and folks who wanted to work with it because they wanted to get messages directly to communities. So it's, you know, it's been a pleasure to be a part of it. And, you know, my family wanted to make sure we fed every student and every participant. So, you know, before the parade, we'd be making sandwiches and, you know, packing brown paper bags full of treats for each participant because it's really a community effort. And my dad's favorite saying around it is that it was a day on and not a day off. So even though we had the day out of school, we still were expected to be there on the parade route at 4 a.m., getting everything organized to go all the way down MLK. And of course, the stop in front of the King Center to really honor Dr. King, where the, you know, the city has always had different services where they may lay a wreath there, but they have different organized programming to go with King Week. So just really excited to have been a part of that history with my family and have been a part of the organizing team. And the one thing that people remember now who used to be volunteers through my family's parade was they would always get a sweatshirt or some kind of hat or some kind of component. So I have, you know, hundreds of those things kind of laying around from different years. And from time to time on King Day, I might put one.
You know what? I thought I was the only one. I got a bunch of those myself. In fact, I'm still honored that I think it was in 2011, you named Skip Murphy and company Grand Marshals, and we all got to be the Grand Marshal that one year, and it was just absolutely amazing. Again, I got the swag bag. I still have all the stuff, and it's timeless. And again, it's the Martin Luther King Jr. Parade, and I can't even explain how much love was up and down the streets from downtown Dallas all the way to Fair Park, and it was just loads and loads of people. And again, the floats, the bands, the people who were marching in the streets, the dancing in the streets, the music. I could just go on and on and on. and you know what? Wow. The other thing was amazing is, you know, this is Texas, so all kinds of weather. There were times I just knew. I'm like, I'm waking up one morning. It was a Monday. I'm like, okay, Skip Murphy and company, are we going into the studio? It's ice. No, we're doing it from the parade. We would still have the parade. The parade went on rain or shine, right? Or snow or shine.
Every single year. You know, if you got frostbite, you try to get somewhere warm and warm up for a second, and then you get back to your post on the route. So I remember it that way every year.
I promise you, I always couldn't wait when it was those cold days. I kept saying, I can't wait till noon. It ought to be over with about noon. I think it's going to be wrapping up about noon. But those were like some of the good old days. I have to say this now. The parade tomorrow will be virtual, and that's because of the pandemic. Can you talk about, you know, how it's changed? And I can't even remember if they even had it last year because we were in the middle of the pandemic and the vaccines weren't available then.
So now the city is over all the MLK festivities,
right,
that come through the city of Dallas, and that's because the parade is just so large now.
Yeah.
You know, the city needs to maintain it per insurance and all the different folks who want to be engaged. And the King Center and their board has done a great job of really getting people engaged in this event and making it something that is for the entire city. So it, you know, it lives now,
sure,
as a city event that is still very community oriented. And now they're going to have it virtually this year just for the safety of the community who wants to be engaged in it. And there's some information on the King Center's website, and the city of Dallas, you know, the mayor's put out a message on it. So some very good public information. And, you know, again, the city has done a great job of really taking the parade and all its cultural meaning and making sure that every resident in the city has access to it. So very excited about what it's going to be this year as a virtual parade.
Yes. In fact, a lot of it has already been taped, and it's going to be exciting. Again, you can watch it from your own home and be a part of it that way. And again, maybe down the road, maybe a year from now, we can get back out to lining the streets and waving at everybody and enjoying the bands and the floats and the whole nine yards. Again, you guys did a great job building the parade up, and then the parades merged. And now, like you said, it's a whole nother level. And I'm looking forward to that. And in fact, there's been so many Martin Luther King celebration things all this past week leading up to today and to tomorrow. Can you talk about the impact the King celebrations have been having this week on the Dallas Black Chamber and the things that you guys have been involved with as well?
Well, for us, Chris, we are really engaging in community service, and we're actually organizing some large events where we can go into community and actually put our hands on major thoroughfares, on parks, and different businesses that are really impacted, you know, that really impact our community that we're impacted by. Mm-hmm. And the intent of these large-scale volunteer projects are to really make an economic development impact. So we've definitely been engaged there. We are a tenant of the King Center, which is where we office. So, you know, naturally, if they're doing a major project to give back, we try to be engaged with whatever they are doing as, you know, leadership.
Sure.
For a lot of different community services. And of course, we're also looking at Black History Month. And this year, we're thinking about honoring the day that Dr. King was actually assassinated, which is April 4th. So we'll be doing something special there with an event called Ignite the Lights. So even though it's not in its traditional place in the King celebration in January, we want to also keep that fervor going year round and talk about the significance of what he's meant to us year round. But we are engaged with a number of different community organizations, mm-hmm. including the city, to celebrate this year.
Now, you mentioned Black History Month, which is coming up in February. Can you talk about some of the things you have going on? Because it's usually very busy. And I know there's a lot of things that you can't specifically nailed down because of the pandemic and because of the rise of the Omicron variant.
We invite businesses now. We're filling up that calendar. And we invite businesses. If you have a project that would help improve your business and you need some bodies thrown at it who can volunteer, reach out to the Dallas Black Chamber, and you can reach us via email at info@dbcc.org. We would love to be engaged in the community service project with you. So we'll be going big on those, and we'll of course be celebrating different Black leaders on our social media and in our newsletter, and we'll be writing about some of the history of the Dallas Black Chamber of Commerce as we started in the early 1920s, and we've been in existence now, and this is our 96th year.
Wow!
So we've got some Black history that we should absolutely share. That's really important to the history of the city and the region.
Can you talk about the growth of Dallas-Fort Worth and all these different major corporations coming into town and some of the things that you guys have been doing to help not only the corporations who come into Dallas-Fort Worth, but also their employees and how they need to know who to meet and mingle with and where stuff is and how they can partner and the kind of schools that Dallas has to offer? Can you talk about some of the things that you guys do on that level?
So Chris, we have partnered with a lot of different organizations that support that work because it's a core part of our mission. And one of those different groups is Visit Dallas, which does a lot of marketing of all of what Dallas has to offer. But we, you know, we're central to what the offerings are as well, because if you're a Black company and you're wanting to move here, you want to move your family here, you may want to put your business here. So we want to help you with that and get you in the right school district, get you in a place that's comfortable and convenient for your employees. And of course, taking people to the city, the Economic Development Department, and really thinking about the types of incentives that the city offers to small businesses, or, you know, working with the city to talk about economic development or create new organizational structures that the city can utilize that will, you know, cut red tape for them developing in communities where Black and brown residents live, work, and play. And really just getting the city, you know, to be more recognized in terms of how it helps small businesses grow with all kinds of resources that we may have need, that we may need throughout the pandemic as, you know, the economy is ever changing. So we're engaged in a number of different committees with the city. We're engaged with the North Texas Commission on that kind of work. And we also do a lot of policy work. So if there's something that we think will harm Black and brown communities across the southern sector and across the North Texas region, then we're at the State House and we're in D.C. And we're also in our local policy houses trying to get those laws changed to advocate the things that we know will build a safe ecosystem for Black businesses and nonprofits.
Speaking of safe, and I brought up the Omicron variant a little while ago. Can you talk about how that has impacted what you guys are doing, not necessarily in the office itself, but as you reach out and people, you know, they want to know what's going on in this area and the numbers. And I'm sure you've talked with Judge Clay Jenkins about some of the situations and the numbers and how we're handling things. But I just want to know from your eyes view, what kind of things are you guys dealing with and the questions that you get asked?
Well, for one, we spend a lot of time talking to business owners, members, family members, you know, who've contracted COVID-19. We've been doing this throughout the pandemic because a lot of times people just need somewhere to turn. And before they start asking a ton of questions, they just want to tell you what's going on. Mm-hmm. So we've been a listening ear, and I've been party to many of those conversations, which has given me a lot of insight because I've not personally suffered from COVID-19. Is, you know, we've tried to keep ourselves as safe as possible. But also, mm-hmm. We've of course been in touch with the county judge, who's given us a lot of information. We keep in touch with our officials about, you know, what we think is most safe and what we should be advising to our members. So we spend a lot of time giving out information about where people can go get tested, because, you know, as they go out to hang with family and friends during the holidays, they, you know, wanted to know, where can I go get tested?
Right.
And we worked with city officials, like our council members. And I live in District 4, so I work with Councilwoman Carolyn King Arnold mm-hmm. to figure out where all the different testing sites may be. And, you know, for us, we've evolved our programming really since March 2020 to be virtual or to be outdoors, because we knew, you know, early on, that, you know, science indicated that if you have some spacing and you're at least in an open air environment, you may fare better and your events will probably be safer for, you know, for all the attendees if you don't have a huge open space where you'll be indoors where air is moving. So we give a lot of expert advice, and specifically to restaurants who are trying to figure out, at the top of 2020 and moving into 2021, how do we shift our operation to become delivery ready, or to be able to safely receive people, or to take, you know, some space outdoors that we may have in our contract that, you know, it's leased to us where we could use it to safely seat and serve, you know, guests who may come into our establishments. So a lot of different programming like that, you know, getting signage to people and just getting them safety materials that they can work with for their staff to keep their operations going. So that's been a key component of what we've done. We've even added some resources to our website that people can go check out for themselves that is directly linked to the county. So we've kind of been an official source of information for a lot of our members, or at least the first stop before they go to look at some primary sources where they can get information.
Almost like the community bulletin board. I mean, everybody's online anyway, and so there you are.
It's essentially. And for us, one of our many taglines is advocates of connection. You know, the Congressional Black Caucus released a lot of data in 2019 and 2020 that really talked about behind financing. One of the biggest issues in Black communities of business and nonprofit is access to expert information, or just access to the information and partnerships that could actually help them succeed. So we do a lot of work of just connecting folks who need to know each other and connecting those same folks to information that they need to grow. And you know, when we think about the pandemic, public health policy is economic policy at this mm-hmm. point. So that's a big factor of what we've been sharing with businesses.
Can you talk about, since we're talking about connecting, a lot of people may not be aware that in certain parts of town, I mean, everybody has Wi-Fi issues. A lot of people have Zoom meetings that may go wrong. But there are actually parts of town that either don't have Wi-Fi or have tremendous Wi-Fi issues where you can't even get the Wi-Fi in the home where the kids can do their homework and have the school portals available. They either have to go to a library or maybe stand outside of a shopping center. Can you talk about how you guys have been trying to help solve that issue? Because in today's age, you've got to have be on top of technology in order to, you know, improve your life.
Well, you know, Chris, for us, starting with the school district, our superintendent, Michael Hinojosa, really worked on this issue when it was brought to his attention from other community leaders as well as the chamber. And they've been working to offer hotspots to students wherever they can find students who have need. So that was a critical function of our school district, where our superintendent really stepped up using the data that we all saw. We also sat down with executives at AT&T who helped us get a more clear picture of the issue. Because, you know, in some instances, some students didn't have laptops or they didn't have access to Wi-Fi in the home, or, you know, what we may call that last mile, where the connection comes up to your home. But in a lot of instances, they did have the connections. They were already in place, but they could not afford the service.
Oh.
So that opened a whole another can of worms. Or you may have one student, you know, who has we have one laptop for several students in the house, and DISD definitely works to get them computers and different information that way. So, you know, we've seen an outpouring of resources, and we know that the work is not done, because we're still now thinking about what will be the impact of workforce development for these students as corporations look to move here, or they ask, where is the educational system the best? Where should we move our plant for the next 30 years of workforce? And, you know, what does that gap in education mean for the southern sector, where 15% of the tax base is?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of information to kind of, you know, think through there. A lot of corporate partners who are really leading the charge there, along with community residents and community leaders. And we're definitely pushing for more access to Wi-Fi. And we're even thinking about, how do we use public spaces like parks and libraries, many of which are already acting in that capacity. You know, and Chris, one night at the, you know, before the pandemic was really deep, I was sitting in the chamber office in South Dallas, and people were pressing against the glass window in my office, and it made us quite nervous. So I opened it, and there were people who were experiencing homelessness that were trying to get access to Wi-Fi.
Oh my.
So we're figuring out, how can we utilize our own facilities to boost that Wi-Fi so that they have access to, you know, something that's no longer an amenity but a necessity.
It is a necessity. We're talking with Harrison Blair. He's the president of the Dallas Black Chamber of Commerce. And like I said earlier, it's like you're involved with a lot of things, but you're also in conversations with other things as well. So you have a great idea of how things are developing in Dallas and the future of how people projecting their certain ideas and businesses moving in and the whole nine yards. So I've been driving up and down 35 and 67 every day for years and years and years. And so I'm watching this highway get built, and I already know a few things. I know that they're going to build a park similar to Wildall Rogers, which is, you know, in between uptown and downtown, right there by the Dallas Zoo. Do you know any of the details on 35 and 67 and that park, or any of the things that are going on in that area over the next few years?
So, Chris, just at a very general 30,000 foot view.
Right.
Kind of.
Yeah, I guess that you might have a clue. You might have a better clue than most, though.
Absolutely. Well, firstly, you know, construction has been going on 35 since probably both of us were born, and will probably be going on long before we're done.
Forever.
And I'm sure in some stretch of 35 is not even probably started yet. But, you know, to say the Deck Park is going to be a major Southern Gateway entrance. And in fact, the name of the project is the Southern Gateway entrance. So it'll have, of course, the Deck Park that connects the zoo. But the primary goal of this particular project is also to reconnect the communities that were disconnected by the freeway system.
That's right. They were separated by that highway.
Exactly. And if you look at most plans that, you know, that the city, that any major city may have, you know, in its vaults, you'll see that every major city plan in some way, when freeways became really important in the 40s, started to cut through communities of black and brown residents. And this has been repeated across the country, and specifically here in the city of Dallas with North Central Expressway 35 and just about any major freeway system.
Even Deep Ellum. They always talk about how Deep Ellum is separated from downtown Dallas because of the highways.
And it had been that way since highways became a thing. So it's, you know, now we're starting to look at projects that are reconnecting communities. And we're also wanting to make sure that the community residents who are there get to also benefit from it and are not taxed out and kind of removed from the area when all these new resources and amenities are starting to come into play. So that's an ongoing policy quagmire that we're all trying to figure out. But we're also very excited that areas of Dallas that are underdeveloped or where lots have been, not necessarily neglected, but not given all the resources they need, are now starting to get a lot of resources. And this is just one particular place. You know, Councilwoman Arnold has a number of projects that are being developed throughout District 4, mm-hmm. as well as the other council members in the Southern District. And this is just one of the major projects that is quite exciting, not only for residents of District 4 and the Dallas Zoo, but for the community residents who live around the area and for the entire city. It's going to be a cool amenity that we can all utilize.
Exactly. Woodall Rogers is one of the jewels of the city of Dallas. And that park that they're trying to complete, again, I've just seen some of the drawings of it. And I've driven and watched it gets deeper and deeper and deeper on the sides. And then you got that one part in the middle. I'm like, okay, that's going to come down too. And I can just imagine. I'm like, and I see the giraffe up there and I go, this is going to be amazing because they're making this thing big enough where these 18-wheelers can come down through the unlike, the Woodall Rogers Expressway underneath, you know, it's got some big trucks that can go through there, but it's kind of basic. This thing they're building over there on 35 and 67, my goodness, it's like this thing is canyons. It's beautiful. It's got some kind of artwork to it where it's kind of like the High Five up there, North Dallas, over by Richardson. I'm like, this is pretty impressive that they're building over here, and I just can't wait till it's finished, and hopefully it'll be finished in the next 5 or 6 years.
It is very exciting, just based on the fact that it's really going to refocus where Dallas is,
yes.
The major city. It's going to refocus where our zoo is and how people consider it. I think it's one of the top zoos in the nation, mm-hmm. and now it'll have amenities around it that certainly help it to be so even more. So very excited about all of what that project is going to do for that community.
I'm glad you put it like that because a lot of people don't. If you build really nice things about some of the things that are outstanding, like the Dallas Zoo, all of a sudden you have the growth there. You have businesses there. You have retail there. You have really other nice things as well. I bring this up because before the Cowboys moved the Star up to Frisco, there wasn't much north of that tollway, north of Plano. And all of a sudden that's like the billion-dollar mile up there in Frisco, in Arlington, where AT&T Stadium is and the Globe Life Park, Globe Life Field. Now they've got what they call an entertainment district over there in Arlington. In other words, if there's new growth, if there's opportunity, if businesses come, everybody wins.
Exactly. And I think this kind of project spurs a lot of economic development in ways that, market analysis can definitely tell us, but in ways that we can't even imagine. So I'm very excited about the development of this part of the city, which has been long since neglected. But now under the leadership of Councilwoman Arnold, they're getting some much needed updates. And, of course, partnerships with the county, NTTA and a bunch of other different agencies who are coordinating to make this a reality.
Okay, I cannot get you off the phone because you are a big sports fan. I cannot get you off the phone without talking about the Cowboys and the Golden Bears of South Oak Cliff in order. South Oak Cliff wins the first DISD. It was the state championship. A Dallas school has ever won since Carter Cowboys in 1988, but they stripped them of it. And again, that's a legendary program. They made movies about the Carter Cowboys. But since Sunset, Booker T. Washington back in the 50s, can you talk about the impact business-wise of the notoriety of South Oak Cliff putting Oak Cliff on the map?
So, Chris, this story actually starts for South Oak Cliff becoming this kind of engine long before their state championship.
Okay.
These students have been leaders across the district, one as activists, because if not for one of the lead students walking out and taking other students with them to protest the facility they had to go to school in, the energy around all of the new development in the school, the new park that the City of Dallas and Park and Rec Department and the trail that was put over there has now been installed, was all led from energy by these students. So they were already a special group of students in the DISD system. And now they go on to win this championship after having been in that new facility only 1 year. And it just showcases what a difference it makes when we invest in all of our students across the district.
Yeah.
And that they've brought a lot of people together. And they brought a lot of business interests together. And of course, it definitely refocuses DISD as a premier school district that can produce not only in education, but also in athletics. So it's very exciting. And that's why I was glad to talk about Michael Hinojosa, who was my superintendent when I was a DISD student, and who has invested in us throughout the pandemic and just making sure that South Oak Cliff and a number of other facilities throughout the southern sector have seen the kinds of investments that they need. And if you just drive through Oak Cliff and you see Barbara Jordan and a litany of other schools and communities, DISD is turning dirt on those projects. It's probably one of the largest developers in the city, just per all the different properties they own, which are schools or facilities that serve for educational purposes. So I think that this really refocuses what DISD can do and what schools in the southern sector of DISD are able to do when they are properly incentivized. We give them resources. So it's the business of education, the way it's refocusing what it's going to do here in the city when corporations are thinking about moving here, they know of a very successful program, which helps them look into the school and to see all of the investments made and to really question what is DISD doing across the board and, you know, why should we be interested and, you know, what does this mean for our workforce if we have those kind of champions working in our companies or leading our efforts across the city and the nation. So I think that it really refocuses how education is impactful and what kids can do when we invest in them as they mature into leaders that are going to lead us for tomorrow.
You said that so well. And this afternoon, you got the Cowboys hosting the 49ers in the playoffs. They hadn't played each other since the 1990s. Quick prediction, I need a score. That's all I need is a score.
I think it's going to be Cowboys by 7. I've been a Cowboys fan. I'm diehard. I'm from Dallas. If I'm sitting in the barbershop with you and you're the Miami Dolphins fan and you're from Dallas, I'm wanting to know why. What is your incentive? They invite you to the parade, then you get a tax break. I'm Dallas through and through. 3 to 4 generations, the Cowboys are my team. We've been riding with them since back in the Tex Ram days. So I got to take my boys by 7.
That'll work. And Harrison Blair, we will have you on the show again real soon, all right? Thank you again for joining us.
And thank you for having us on.
Yes, and thanks for listening to Better Living. I'm Chris Arnold. Be sure to tune in next week as we highlight other organizations and events happening right here in DFW. So long, everybody.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.